This podcast replay is brought to you by Perdomo Cigars. Check out the retail store in Miami Gardens at 5150 Northwest 167th Street. Plenty of cigar gear and a relaxing lounge. This is the Perdomo way.
All right, it is time. Benjamin Albright is ready to go. Let's bring him aboard. Benjamin Albright, KOA Colorado Insider, Broncos. It says Broncos Insider on his Twitter feed, but he's really a Broncos and an NFL insider. Ben, you're kind of cheating yourself here. You're really a Broncos and an NFL insider. You break a lot of national stuff, not just Broncos stuff, man. Yeah, we got to change that headline on your Twitter page, bro.
Yeah, well, I only have an office inside one NFL team's headquarters, so I guess that's why I did that. I got literally inside the Denver Broncos, but I actually hate that title, believe it or not. I always hated that insider title that made me put that on there. But yeah, I try to do the national thing a little bit as best I can. I apologize for being a little late. My phone battery was running dead. I had to go buy a charging cable.
It's all good. Listen, we're in a town where we have a lot of people that are of Cuban descent like myself, and that is natural for us to be late to everything. So you were just honoring us is what you were doing.
Honoring the Cuban heritage, really.
That's it. And we love you for that. So thank you very much. By the way, you broke a story, national story, that Sean Payton isn't having the smooth trip that a lot of us thought he might have to find a job. And we're watching all these dominoes fall and he's running out of options. So walk us through the hurdles that have been an issue for teams, owners, and Sean Payton, I guess.
Well, I think first and foremost, the obvious. The obvious is the cost in terms of trade compensation, draft picks that would go back to New Orleans. They want somewhere between the 16th and the 12th pick on the draft value chart in terms of a points compensation. For the Broncos, that would be with the first that they have from the Niners. That would be pick number 28, and then probably 2 third rounders are probably another pick. If you're Carolina, you're paying a little bit of a tax there. And obviously, Carolina hired Frank Reich, but they would have had to pay a little bit of a tax there because of in division. He didn't request an interview. Houston Texans weren't interested. The only team that really has any interest is maybe Arizona, and whom he's interviewing with now. I mean, the Denver Broncos, he was never their number one guy. He was never the number one guy for anybody in all this. So first and foremost, the draft compensation. Second, the salary demand, because you're probably talking about $25 million per year there, which is an astronomical number. And then you start to delve into other things. He wants total control of an organization. So whatever general manager's there is getting fired. And then you start delving into the other things. Why did he only win one Super Bowl with Drew Brees? You know, I mean, you had a top 10 all-time, top 5 all-time quarterback. You won one Super Bowl. You had five 500 or losing seasons with that guy. You had 7 seasons in which you put up fewer points than Steve Sarkisian did when he was the OC for the Atlanta Falcons out there in 2018. Your acumen is an offensive wonderkind, but what did you ever do? I mean, to be honest with you, when he got suspended for Bounty Gate, they scored, 460 some odd points that year. He comes back the next year and they scored like 414 points. And that was with Joe Vitt and Aaron Cromer on the show. So, you know, I think the legend of Sean Payton actually outproduces the production of Sean Payton, and people start to get into this and look at this and like, well, wait a minute, what am I paying all this for? What am I getting out of this? And then you come in and you're arrogant in your interviews and you kind of blow the interview process and rub people the wrong way. And then you've got all your buddies out there leaking all this info on TV, and it's always drama. It just wasn't worth it for these teams. And Sean Payton will get a job eventually if he wants one. But as it sits right now, I think he's out this cycle. I think he's going back to Fox. Unless Arizona pulls the trigger, he doesn't have a market.
Okay, wow, the thing is, the Bidwells are going to be willing to pay the money, the salary for him, because apparently he wants – somebody said 20 to 25 million if he wants that. Bidwells haven't been known to spend. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to give up draft compensation, control, and the money because they're not known to spend that kind of cash, dude.
Exactly. They just hired Monty Austin Ford. Now Monty Austin Ford does have a Parcells in background, so that may help. But, he and Sean Payton don't know each other, and Sean's going to want to bring in his own guys. And if you're Monty Austin Ford, are you really bringing him in, hiring him so that he can snake you behind your back, right, Fire you, and bring in Ryan Pace, the guy who traded up in competition with nobody to grab Mitchell Trubisky over Pat Mahomes? Is that what you're going to do?
Right. Oh, man, that is brutal. Okay, so now let me turn it to the Dolphin Nation. They just interviewed Vic Fangio. And I'm saying that because of this whole Sean Payton mess, this actually becomes a better angle for the Dolphins to kind of land Vic Fangio. So where does Fangio, as you got to know him, obviously, you know, coaching in Denver there, what do you think he's thinking? What is going to make him happy? Is it going with Sean Payton, like some have said? Do you think Miami might be that kind of destination? Who is the real competition right now for Vic Fangio?
Well, I think he's got four main options, three main options, and maybe a fourth, I'll say. The Philadelphia job, when John Gannon gets the Houston Texans head coaching job, and that's what we expect to get it. DeMeco Ryans is their other candidate, but I think DeMeco's going to Denver. So when John Gannon takes the Philly job, that leaves the Philly DC job open. Vic is already on staff there as a consultant. He could just step right in. San Francisco, he's always had an affinity for Kyle Shanahan. He went out and did some consulting with them during training camp. He knows that there's a stability there in terms of that, you know, that staff. He could go out and work for the 49ers. And then Raheem Morris, if he gets the Indianapolis job, Vic has always loved Sean McVay. And so, you know, he could potentially take that job. And then of course there's a Miami job. He's familiar with Mike McDaniel. We just talked about Kyle Shanahan. He's familiar with Mike McDaniel. Mike and him they got some pretty different personalities, but I love Mike McDaniel. I've known Mike McDaniel a long time, and I will say that I think that he could coexist there. I mean,
he won't get in his way. He won't get in his way. He'll delegate and let Fangio do his thing. He'll be the head coach of the defense.
And that's what Fangio wants. He wants a situation where he is basically the head coach of the defense. That's what his preferred kind of setup or situation is. So I think it's a good fit. I think it's a very real possibility. It's just a question of, again, these other jobs, the Philadelphia job, San Francisco job, and the LA job. I think those are the competition you have. Now, I will say this. He's living down there in Florida right now because of his mom, who's old and you know, she's in her 90s and all that kind of stuff. Vic is his home of base of operations down there in Florida now. However, his girlfriend's on the West Coast. And so that's kind of the competition you're dealing with that a little bit. She's like an eye surgeon out there and on the West Coast. So that's a little bit of the other competition that you're dealing with.
Where in the West Coast?
I believe she's Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and double check on that, but I think she's LA.
Okay. Well, working in San Francisco, you're not far, and you can, you know, the commute is.
He's living in Florida right now with his mother. So who's more important, mom or the girlfriend?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. You tell me. You know Vic Fangio better than we do. But you know the way you're describing it, Ben. It almost sounds like Miami is not the first option there. It might be the third or fourth option.
It just depends. I would say that they're a good option. I say that they make the final list. The question is if they can sell the benefits of being there versus the benefits of being somewhere else. I mean, San Francisco's a pretty loaded defense. You know, the talent level that's there, you're close to your girlfriend, all that. LA, I don't even know if that job's coming open, but if it does, it's got its own unique set of edges. Then Philadelphia, I mean, Philly is originally home for Vic. That's that part of the world he's from. And he's already got an intimate familiarity with the players there because he's been consulting there for a year. So, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages to each one. I think having no state tax out there in Florida, you know, I think that's got to be a good selling point too, though.
Why isn't anybody talking about Lovie Smith as a defensive coordinator? Because I got to tell you, if Miami doesn't get Vic Fangio, instead of some of the young guys that they're talking about, I would rather have Lovie Smith as my defensive coordinator. Why isn't he being talked about?
I think the main thing is he kind of showed a rigidity this year in trying to kind of run sort of an archaic defense. Lovie's one of those Tampa 2 guys, and while 2 deep man under is kind of taking over the league right now, middle of the field open, Vic Fangio, cover 4, cover 6 kind of stuff is taking over. I think that the main thing right now is getting Lovie off the Tampa 2 stuff and just making it sure that he's also, you know, kind of incorporating some of that other stuff. And I think that's part of it. You saw at Buffalo how that just kind of didn't work in the playoffs. That, you know, they're a cover 2 team, and in the end you can run on that and it's tough. And if you can get Lovie to be a little bit more flexible, a little bit more 2 deep man under, a little bit more varied in his coverages, I think people would be all over it. But this year in Houston he wasn't really willing to do that, for better or worse, and unfortunately it cost him his job too.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Listen, the key to that cover 2, I'm always told, is the middle linebacker. If you don't have a middle linebacker that can run like the wind in every single direction, That's how that defense doesn't work most of the time. So you've got to have the right linebackers. I don't believe Houston had the right linebackers to actually run that defense.
Yeah, they don't. Houston needs a whole overhaul, and Lovie was there as a stopgap kind of thing. So there's some give and take with that narrative. I mean, he got a bit railroaded on it. But at the same time, you go back and look at the tape, he was a little inflexible with what he ran, and he's going to have to vary it up if he's going to get one of these other jobs.
All right, so tell me a little bit about Fangio, and tell the Dolphin Nation why Fangio would be perfect. And by the way, he also has one of his guys here in Bradley Chubb.
He does. And Bradley Chubb's familiar with the scheme. He's familiar with Bradley. Vic's one of those guys that's going to get the most out of guys. They might not like him as a person for a while because he's very, very sparse on the compliments. I remember when he got the head coaching job and here in Denver, and his opening presser, somebody asked him about Von Miller, and he's like, yeah, Von's a player here. We'll see if we can make him a little better. You know, I mean, it's Von Miller. Like, that's your opening line. So, you know, I think Vic is stingy with compliments, but he makes guys earn it. And I'll tell you this, Shelby Harris, who's now in Seattle, was a guy that when Vic got there, he hated him, absolutely hated him. And by the time Vic was gone and Shelby was headed to Seattle, he was like, well, you know, I hated him at first, but he was a guy who recognized the talent in me and got the most out of me. And Vic will do that. He will recognize them. You know, he will recognize you and get the most out of you. So if you're willing to be coached hard like that, he's the guy for you. Vic probably brings with him Ed Donatell as his right-hand man. Ed was the DC in Minnesota ill-fatedly this year. He may try to coax Bill Kolar out of retirement. Kolar is an excellent defensive line coach. So, you know, you'll have experience there and you'll play good. The one thing I would say about Vic's defense that it takes some getting used to is it is not aggressive at all. It's actually the opposite of that. Vic's defense tries to generate turnovers, but it's light in the box. It dares you to run and puts you in third and longs, and it's a bend, don't break. They're trying to turn you over. So when you need, it's a great defense. It'll put up great numbers, but if you absolutely need a stop at the end of a game, it's tough to get with that style of defense.
Okay. All right. If it doesn't happen with Fangio, Desai has been mentioned, Jerome Henderson, Ivero, Kurasek. I think there's another name that I might be missing here. But out of those young guys, Sean Desai, right? Did I mention him? And Chris Richard is the other guy. Out of all those guys, who would be the next selection that Ben Albright would say, that's a good pick for Miami?
It depends on what you want to run. You know, if you want to run middle field close, I'd say Chris Richard. If you want to run middle field open, I would be all over Vero if you can get him. I think, you know, that's the thing. Sean Desai is not a bad option. Chris Kusarek is an unproven commodity. He is excellent at training up defensive linemen, but he's kind of an unproven commodity as a defensive coordinator. So that would be the big question mark on him. I love him as a coach, and he's a great guy. But I don't know what he is as a defensive coordinator. I just know him as a defensive line coach. So, you know, Ivero, I think, would be the jewel, but you're only going to have him for a season. He's going to get head coaching stuff next year. So there's that. I think if you want the best long-term answer for the personnel you have is probably Desai. That's probably the guy you want to go with.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at Albright NFL. By the way, my brother, I feel like the crypto bull run's coming here.
It's buying season for me. I'm all over. I've been all over buying. I sent you the text for the one I'm buying right now. You don't have to. You can kind of sprinkle that out to the listeners if you want to. But I just bought a huge bag of that particular coin. So yeah, I'm back on the crypto train, and it's buying season for me.
Anything else you're buying besides that?
That's the main one. I bought 2 million. I bought 2 million of those yesterday. So.
Okay. All right. Good stuff there. Follow him on Twitter at Albright NFL. Ben, as always, man, I appreciate you. Are you going to be next week in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I'll be down in Mobile.
You got it. I'll be there. I'll see you there,
brother.
I'll
be there, brother.
All right, man. Be good. You got it. We'll get a beer. There you go. Ben Albright. Good stuff as always. Ben, by the way, he's an amp guy. So he bought a bunch of amp, and he's hoping that amp can climb.